This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. I'm joined in the studio now by Greg Constantine, documentary photographer, and he's here talking about a photo exhibition on the Rohingya people. So what first brought you then to Southeast Asia?
It was actually, I moved from the United States to Southeast Asia to work on a nine-year project that I've been working on about documenting stateless people all around the world. And obviously the Rohingya is probably one of the largest stateless groups in the world. So Southeast Asia was a place that I decided to use as my base for this project.
And so essentially then, you know, how did you, what interested you in the idea or the notion of statelessness?
Well, I mean, I think statelessness, it touches on so many bigger themes that that kind of are indicators about the way that we live life in 2015. I mean, it talks about, you know, statelessness deals with themes of identity and the power of the state, about, you know, people's access to human rights, inclusion, tolerance. I mean, all these very big themes are encompassed within the issue of statelessness. And at least for the work that I've done, it's trying to document how the denial of that fundamental right of citizenship trickles down into the challenges in the day-to-day lives of people, both here in Southeast Asia and everywhere else around the world.
And so you've mentioned that Rohingyas are obviously one of the largest groups, as you mentioned. On the other hand, you know, have you sort of done work closer to home as well, you know, looking at the ideas and issues of statelessness around the Americas?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think one of the most radical cases of statelessness that you find in the world today is in the Dominican Republic, where there's several hundred thousand people, primarily children of ethnic Haitian descent, who are living in the Dominican Republic. And because of racism and discrimination, actually changes in the Constitution of the Dominican Republic in recent years have retroactively stripped the citizenship away from tens of thousands of people in the Dominican Republic. So, yeah.
And did you know much about Operation Naga Min before coming to the region? Did you kind of read up on the history of the Rohingya? Was it something that gripped you more when you actually got here and met people? And
well, I mean, I think, you know, doing this kind of work, you can research things all you like as far ahead of time as you possibly can. And I mean, you know, the historical legacy of the movement of Rohingya out of Burma, you know, whether it be the Naga Min in 1978 or later in 1991-92, I mean, it's one of the larger movements of people because of human rights abuse in the region. So you can't particularly, you have to be aware of that, but at the same time, the situation, the realities of the situation when you actually are working on the ground day to day, documenting and listening to the stories of people, of Rohingya people, whether they be in Bangladesh or in Burma, makes things that much more tangible, you know.
And you've been documenting their lives for 9 years. What changes and developments have you noticed in their circumstances in this, you know, more or less decade?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, actually there's been a lot of changes, but unfortunately they've all been for the worse. I mean, I think that over the 9 years, I started my work photographing the Rohingya in southern Bangladesh in early 2006, and since then have made 8 trips to southern Bangladesh and 4 trips inside of Burma since the violence erupted in 2012. But unfortunately, since then, there's been a lot of changes, but they've all been changes that have deteriorated the condition of this particular community, regardless of where they are.
So who are some of the people that you've photographed, you know, in, because 9 years is a long time, and I assume that you meet people over and over again, or do you go from, you know, from community to community?
I mean, in Bangladesh, I often have went back and revisited people that I had seen on previous trips. You know, and I think one of the tragic things about working on that story and revisiting people is that the shell shock of having been displaced or having left their home in Burma is quite short-lived in a sense, to where the reality of a more permanent situation of displacement and exile from that place that you call home really starts to sink in. So I have in Bangladesh quite a few people I went back and revisited. In Burma, it's a whole different situation, particularly after the 2012 violence. I mean, the change, the situation is fluid and changes all the time. Yet at the same time, the lives of Rohingya there are quite stagnant in a sense that they have very little hope for any change in their future.
So what are some of the stories that members of the Rohingya community have shared with you?
Well, I mean, they range. I mean, you know, let's put it this way. When I first started to work from 2012 or from 2006 to 2012, you know, getting access to Burma was quite difficult. And so I used the stories of Rohingya coming out of North Rakhine and Burma as a window into the abuse they were facing there. So a lot of the stories that I was exposed to and tried to highlight through my pictures would have been stories about the reasons why people were leaving Burma, particularly, you know, it could range from anything from the arbitrary seizure of land by the Burmese authorities or the denial of marriage, which is a common practice and part of local orders within North Rakhine, which really, in my experience, is the leading cause for youth Rohingya actually leaving Burma because they're denied the permission to get married and have a normal life just like anybody else. In Burma, it's a whole different situation in the sense that the stories that have been exposed to me are more of people who are trying to understand the situation, the gravity of the situation that they've been put in over the past couple of years. And also at the same time, it's this sense of shock in the sense that a lot of people just can't believe that it's now been 2 years since the violence and they haven't been allowed to go back home.
Looking at the photos, they're very affecting, they're very arresting, and they're very soulful. Did you ask people to pose for you, or did you take photos of them spontaneously? How did it work?
Yeah, I mean, I think on most occasions it's all spontaneous. I mean, I talk with people for a long time before I take portraits of them often. So, you know, the after sitting and talking with somebody for 25 minutes or an hour or an hour and a half, I often take their pictures. And in that case, I don't particularly ask people to pose, but it's a very natural kind of situation because the level of trust and my genuine intent of the reason why I'm there has kind of been established with people. But for the most part, it's trying to just document these slices of everyday life that the Rohingya have to go through in order to make it from one day to the next.
And how did you decide on which photos you wanted to feature in the exhibition? Because I'm sure that you have, you know, you're working from a large bank.
Yeah. I mean, editing is a really difficult kind of situation and always a challenge for photographers or writers or musicians. But at the same time, the fact is that, you know, what pictures when put together tell the most comprehensive and most affecting narrative. And I think that the pictures that span in this particular exhibition, whether they be, you know, the challenges that they face in Bangladesh, or the situation, the desperate situation, the apartheid like situation that Rohingya are actually living in Sitwe and around in Burma, are pictures that I think are all need to be seen by people and tell a large narrative about their situation.
It's a mixed media exhibition in a space that's never been used for exhibitions like this in KL. What can we expect?
You can expect a really interesting space in the sense that I think that the theme and the story of the Rohingya, the marriage between that and the physical space in which the show is being presented to people will be really effective in terms of the way that people experience the story of the Rohingya as they go through and look at the pictures. I think that's a really important thing. Having pictures on white walls in a gallery is great, but at the same time, I think that this kind of exhibition is something new for Kuala Lumpur. Hopefully it will present an idea of the way that documentary photography can be shown here that's in a non-traditional way in the sense of this marriage between prints and projections. So I'm really excited about it.
The KL exhibition is the 12th international exhibition of this project. Why here when there have been other exhibits held in places like London and Brussels and Bangkok, Tokyo, Hong Kong?
Well, I think that, you know, every single one of these exhibitions is there's a lot of thought that goes behind them. They're chose for strategic, specific reasons. It's not just to feature my work. The purpose for having the exhibition here in Kuala Lumpur during this particular time is very specific and very strategic in the sense that the ASEAN Summit will be taking place here in Kuala Lumpur, literally one block away from where this exhibition will be held later this month. At the same time, starting next week, is the annual Asia People's Forum meetings that will be taking place here, where civil society will be gathering to talk about the issues that are they're faced with. And I also think that it's also significant to have the exhibition here in Kuala Lumpur because, as everybody knows, it's no secret, there is a large group of continually of annual wave of Rohingya finding their way from Burma and Bangladesh into Malaysia to seek refuge and asylum and sanctuary. And it's a very sensitive issue. But at the same time, I think this is a really complex story that can easily be exploited by people. And what ends up being lost in the mix is the day-to-day lives, the human element of all this. And that's what I think photography can do. It can provide a platform for people to have discussions that better inform them, to ask questions, and in a way be utilized as a point of departure for a number of different organizations here to have discussions about Malaysia's policy towards the Rohingya and other groups that are finding their way here to Malaysia. And also, you know, Malaysia is now the chairman of ASEAN. So it's a very significant time to have this exhibition here in a very important place in the Southeast Asia region.
The exhibition Exile to Nowhere, Burma's Rohingya, will open in Kuala Lumpur this Saturday, April 18th. It will run through till the 1st of May. The opening reception is on the 18th, and we'll be having a photographer's talk from 2 to 4 p.m. on Sunday, the 19th of April. Gallery opening hours are Monday to Saturday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Sundays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and the exhibition will be the first to take place in the new prototype gallery L4 space at Wisma Central on Jalan Ampang. For more information, you can log on to www.exiledtonowhere.com. Thank you very much for joining me, Greg.
Thank you so much.
I've been speaking to Greg Constantine, documentary photographer, on the Rohingya photo exhibition that is coming soon. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.